I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show?
Every moment of every show is available in podcast form.
By searching Hanson Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, kicking off your 1 o'clock hour. We're down here in Bluffdale, 13901 Redwood. It is Fat Cats. Come by, hang out with us. Let's go. I got $10 gift cards to the arcade to everybody who stops by. By the way, big thanks to this guy. Got some chocolate cinnamon bears. What are those?
I don't even know if I want to say it.
Tell me.
I'll give you half the chocolate dipped Oreos for half your chocolate dipped cinnamon bears.
I'll give you all of these.
You want to just go
straight across?
Straight across.
Done.
You like those chocolate dipped Oreos?
I'll do the chocolate dipped Oreos.
That is a beautiful
and thing. And the popcorn to be named later.
Yeah, Descendant chocolate cashew caramel corn. Ooh. Oh, sorry. Descendant. It's been handed down from generation to generation.
Generation to generation.
Until it's descendant reached my descendant.
Hey, I know we got Mitch hanging on the line. I need your help with something, though, here. Because I've been reading this Mitch Bargatze liner. So how would you read that? Tickets on Snell now for...
The Be Funny. Yeah.
Yeah. It's how about just for the... Because it's actually... It's just called Be Funny.
Yeah, so it'd be
but they put
for the Be
the
Funny.
Outside the parentheses.
Yeah, that'd be better.
Yeah.
It would make it less confusing.
Because it goes now for the Be Funny. Be Funny.
Yeah, because if it's named The Be Funny, then it should be the Be Funny.
Yeah, which made no sense. So I was like, I finally sent it over to somebody and be like, can you help me with this? It's called the Be Funny Tour. Okay, well, they can take the out of it.
You've heard this guy, though? You think?
Oh, he's actually really funny. Yeah. Okay. Nate Bargatze. All right, let's get to him. Man himself, Mitch Harper, BYU insider for KSLSports.com and overall good tune. Mitch, how are you?
Hey, Mitch.
Doing great, guys, other than my I didn't realize there was a thing for elementary kids when they finish their school year that parents have to give them gifts.
Oh, dude.
Even though at the end of third grade. So my kids, and I bring this up because, Scotty, I know you'll appreciate this because you tweeted about it a few weeks ago. My kids have been desperately begging for this new flavor of Prime, lemonade.
Yeah.
Lemonade Prime. So we gifted my kids today, ending third grade, Lemonade Prime. So My bank account is just diving into Prime every single day. That's all my kids want, Prime.
This Prime drink is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. And especially boys from the ages of, like, you're right, third grade to about 7th or 8th grade, it's like cigarettes in prison for these kids.
What is it? Why have I not heard of it?
It's the Paul brothers, or one of the Paul brothers,
yeah,
who started it's like Gatorade. Have you tried it, Mitch?
It's like a coconut water, but it's supposed to be low calorie. I don't see the hype around it, but
no.
Every kid just loves it. They can't get enough of it. So I'm for the first time in my life hitting up a GNC. Like, why are you rolling into this place, bitch? But I'm hitting up GNC for Prime bottles all the time now.
These kids, man, and it's just the marketing genius of the Paul brothers. And it's like, it's a status symbol. If one of these kids comes, you know, has a bottle of Prime, I mentioned, like, these kids are like, once they get a bottle, they won't throw it away. They'll put water into it and carry it around school because people think they're cool because they got a bottle of Prime. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen.
Why? I can't even believe I've never heard of this.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's insane.
Are they expensive?
They're really expensive.
Yeah.
I actually bought a case of 18 at Costco, and I have Brody selling it at school for $5 a bottle, and he's actually getting some money on it.
Are you serious?
He gets a nice return on that.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man, why not start your entrepreneurship right away?
Yeah, but he doesn't want to sell them because he wants to keep them. I'm like, Dad, I just want them.
No, stop drinking
You can't partake of your product. Come on. what we learn from...
Fonz Fudge Factory.
Well.
Oh, no, we
learned lots of things about Fonz Fudge Factory.
You're talking about Beating Bad?
Breaking Bad, yeah. What? Anyway. All right. Mitch, we got a lot to talk about. How big of a blow was it for BYU on Isaac Wilson? Because Patrick Kinahan mentioned that maybe BYU wasn't as high on maybe Isaac Wilson as many people thought.
That's true. And, you know, I think the interest was definitely cooling off from BYU's end. I think they knew that they were going to be kind of buried on that top six that Isaac Wilson had. And Utah was, you know, once the calendar year turned to, you know, 2023, it became Utah was starting to be the favorite. And, you know, it was evidence too. BYU the last few months has offered quite a few more quarterbacks. Demarcus Davis from California is someone that I would say right now is probably BYU's number one quarterback target in the 2024 class now. They've also offered Enoch Watson, a quarterback who's being coached by Ty Detmer and Max Hall in Arizona. And then there's also a quarterback out at Granger High School who was previously at De La Salle High School. He's now at Granger High, kind of an interesting prospect. The name escapes me at the moment. I don't want to mess it up, but they've offered quite a few quarterbacks, and so it was not a surprise to anyone around BYU. I think, but from a standpoint for the BYU fan base, it hurts to lose to Wilson because there was that feeling of that family was, you know, dyed in the wool. Now BYU, they flipped to the blue, and they were going to always go to BYU. But big shoes for Isaac to possibly have to follow into Zach's footsteps and be the quarterback there. And, you know, and I think that Isaac goes to a Utah program where, you know, I know Utah hasn't had the greatest track record with high-profile recruits like Tuttle and Peter Castelli, but, you know, he could go in there and maybe have a chance to compete at least for the number one job. I think he would have been given that chance at BYU, too. But BYU really likes guys like Jake Retzlaff and Ryder Burton for the future right now, and then they've got those targets who I mentioned. So I don't think it's as big of a blow for BYU. They kind of saw this coming quite a few months ago.
So in terms of them seeing this coming, Mitch, was that kind of them getting word that he was hot on Utah's trail, or why did they cool off on him? From what you've heard or what you know?
I think it was just a feeling of they wanted to have, because with quarterback timelines with recruits, it's starting to dry up. I mean, the high-profile four-star recruits, they make their decisions before their junior year pretty much ends. I mean, everything in the recruiting calendar is just moving up so fast. It's rare now that a quarterback goes into the summer before their senior year and they're still on the board as an uncommitted prospect. So I think that they had to make contingency plans. I think there's always been this belief of if you're going to be invested into a quarterback, you almost have one or two guys and you put all your resources into them. And if you get any sort of intel that leads you to believe that you're not the favorite, you've got to make contingency plans because some of these other guys are going to go off the board. I mean, that DeMarcus Davis from California, he's lining up his official visits coming up to places like Washington, Arizona in the coming weeks. And BYU's got to find a way to get him on an official visit in June. I mean, June official visits were not a thing, just a couple years ago. So everything's just moving up in a timely manner, and you don't want to be left in a spot to where you have no quarterback in this cycle. BYU a couple years ago had back-to-back recruiting classes where they didn't sign a high school quarterback, and that's where it led to this year. It was so critical to go get a grad transferring Keaton Slovis because they just haven't armed themselves with many high school quarterback prospects, you know, waiting in the wings. So I just think it's something where the timeline has been expedited, and I think that they wanted to make the contingency plans in place that if they were left behind, which there was indications that it were, that Utah was emerging as a favorite, that they were not going to be left, you know, kind of going, oh, no, we don't have any quarterback in this cycle, because at Power 5 football, you got to have, I think, at least one quarterback at every single cycle from the high school ranks still.
The reason, one of the reasons we wanted to bring you on, because I thought this was fantastic by BYU and a great idea, and I'm sure, I know a couple other schools have started it, and I'm sure that this is going to catch like wildfire, but a essentially transfer portal combine to essentially bring people in that are in the transfer portal to essentially get a workout in and get some evaluation, essentially say, hey, look, if you can get to Provo and kick us $50, we'll work you out and give you a shot. Kind of give us the genesis of this, and I know you wrote a story about it at KSLSports.com, but I think this is a great opportunity for BYU to get some eyes on maybe some potential guys that may have slipped through the cracks.
It is a unique idea, and I think it's going to become the new trend, and it continues to show that how big of a hold the transfer portal has on recruiting. But, you know, BYU, by my unofficial count right now, they've got, and I've been tracking this closely, they've got 83 of their 85 scholarships locked down for 2023. So they're going into the June camp season of recruiting with about two scholarships left on the board for 2023. And you've kind of gotten to a point with the transfer portal where the instant impact guys, they're off the board, they're gone, they've already been locked down to other schools. The rest become a situation where it's projection-based. They become, you know, those maybe last few scholarship guys or maybe some preferred walk-on options. And you're probably not going to spend resources to go visit them. So why not find a way to get these guys on the campus, give them a chance to have a trial, because they don't want to be left in the portal forever. They want to have another opportunity to play a high level of football. And BYU is now going to be in a Power 5 league at the Big 12. It's a great option for all parties involved, and I think that, you know, Nebraska was kind of the trendsetter with this. They were the one that first, from what I saw, created this back in the spring. And they announced it, and I think a lot of schools have followed. Colorado has followed. Even Utah is going to have a camp coming up here in June, from what I understand. BYU as well. So this is going to become the new norm in college football to another evolution in the transfer portal. And I think if BYU can find a way to fill those scholarships, to bring more competitive depth, bring a guy that's going to kind of iron sharpens iron in a position room, I think that just helps. And I just think that this staff, what's been impressive with BYU staff, the recruiting efforts are a complete 180 from what it's been in the past. And I just think a testament to Jay Hill. His recruiting background has always been top shelf. I mean, you guys know that, but his days at Utah, he was one of the best recruiters in the Pac-12 conference in Utah's early days in that league. And his connections around the West and in Texas are top shelf. And I think the recruiting operation at BYU, there's still room to grow, of course. But I think Jay Hill's changing the game for how BYU attacks recruiting. And I just think they're not going to leave any stone unturned. And this transfer portal camp coming up in June, two different camps, will be another opportunity for BYU to find a way to round out their roster and bring as much talent and speed and possible depth that you could possibly have on that roster.
So, Mitch, you mentioned Jay Hill and his recruiting ability. And you and I both know that BYU's defensive talent isn't where he needs it to be or expected it to be. And he's gone heavy to try to bring in some good defensive talent to try to pick up that pass rush and to fill this system that he's trying to install. Do you believe that Jay Hill has picked up the personnel that he can effectively run that defense to a point that he can at least slow down, what, five, maybe six of the top offenses in the country?
I think so, Hans. I think that Jay Hill has improved the talent a lot for BYU. And I think even some of the returning lettermen, guys that were carried over from the previous seasons that are returning, they're going to be part of this group. I think there's enough there. I mean, there's still going to be some games where BYU is going to give up a lot of yards and probably a lot of points because I think there's some good offenses in the Big 12. I don't think the quarterback play in the Big 12 is that great this year. I don't think it's as deep as maybe many Cougar fans might believe. And I think that lends itself to some opportunities to surprise people. But I think the talent in the trenches has gotten better. I mean, it was a low bar. I mean, BYU's defensive line last year, I thought was, the last few years, I think has not been good at all. Since Tyrus Tonga left, there's been nothing really inspiring from BYU's defensive line. And a lot of that was probably scheme. But I think Tyler Batty's improved a lot. And I think that, you know, he's someone that's gotten down to about 3%, 4% body fat. He looked lean in spring ball. And you thought almost like, did he lose a bunch of weight? But he's maintained a lot of that weight. It's just he's trimmed down the body fat percentage for him. And I think Zay Banya, I think, you know, he's got to become more of an all-around, you know, he's going to be that outside edge where Batty's going to be more that full rusher. I think that's a nice tandem to start with. And I think Atu Naisimahe in the interior, Jackson Cravens coming in from Boise State. There's enough there, I think, for BYU that they can be a little bit better than expected. I still think it's a work in progress for Jay Hill, and I think he would tell you that they still got a long way to go in terms of what he wants it to eventually become in the Big 12. But I think that Cougar fans are going to be a lot more pleased with the product defensively this year. And I think that what they've done with getting A.J. Vongpachana, that was a good addition. Eddie Heckert, I think, got a real big potential at cornerback. He could be that nickel corner as well with five defensive backs. I think there's enough there that the depth is a lot better. I think this roster as a whole on defense is a lot better than what it was a year ago.
What's your realistic win-loss expectations for next year? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot. I'm certainly not holding you to it, but you know, where are you at on next year?
You know, I put out my game-by-game predictions on the site a couple weeks back, and I kind of went bold a little bit. I'm saying 7-5, and here's the thing that's, I think, maybe the bold aspect to that. I think 7 wins is bold, but I actually have BYU starting 5-0. I think BYU can jump out of the gate early and get off to a hot start. I think the schedule is pretty manageable. I mean, Arkansas is going to have one of the best backfields in the SEC this year, but, you know, Kalani Sitake has had a great track record in revenge games at BYU. He's done a really nice job in those spots. I think they could somehow pull an upset against Arkansas. I'm calling for 7 wins for BYU this year, and that might be a little bit higher than probably most projections. I think it's okay to say, you know, 5-6, but I'm going to go a little bit higher, and I think a lot of that is because I'm really high on the offensive line, the addition of Caleb Etienne, and then you turn Braden Keim probably into a backup, and I thought he was well on his way to being the starting right tackle for BYU on an offensive line with Kingsley Suamata. Yeah, I think that offensive line is where it all starts, That's going to create opportunities for Keaton Slovis to have more success. I'm not completely sold yet on Slovis. I got a little bit more cautiously optimistic with him after spring. But I think the ground attack is better than what BYU has been in many years. I think it might be the best running back unit, at least in terms of depth. I don't know if you still got that superstar at the top like a Tyler Allgeier, but I think in terms of depth, I think it's one of the better running back units that we've had in probably a quarter century since the days of Ronnie Jenkins and Brian McKenzie. I think Aiden Robbins, Deion Smith, Hinkley Folau-Rapati, that's a pretty good trio. And then you bring in L.J. Martin, who was a high school freshman that leader Aaron Roderick said in the spring, I would not be surprised if he comes in and competes right away. And that staff doesn't say those sort of things unless they mean it. So I think there's some really good depth in the backfield, and that offensive line, I think, it's getting close to being where they feel really sound, 8, 9, 10 deep at that offensive line group.
Well, that 7-win prediction would mean 5 conference wins because you've got the two. You had yep. Sam Houston and Southern Utah that I think you check both those boxes, and we'll see what happens with Arkansas, but you probably favor Arkansas in their home stadium. That would mean 5 conference victories, and we'll see if they can do it, Mitch.
That's a hell of a year, first year.
It would be a
Big
great
12.
Year.
Yeah.
If they could do that, Mitch, it'd be a great year.
It would be, and I think it's a lot of that's going to rest on the health of the team, and it might be a little bit bullish on that. But I just think, again, the dynamics of the schedule early on is what really makes me believe BYU could have some success because from TCU on down to the season finale at Oklahoma State, I could see each one of those games being a loss. I mean, Iowa State, I think, is going to be much better this year. I mean, Iowa State's coming off a 4-win season, but they're a very young team. I think that defense is going to still be one of the best in the Big 12. I mean, it's going to be challenging, but I feel like there's opportunities early on and if BYU can find a way to stay healthy. And I feel like BYU's kind of been wired to be kind of an early, fast starter with their seasons. They're always the team that we're talking about a ton in September, and then they fade out in November. That's obviously going to change from a standpoint of the matchups they've got in November, but I like the potential of them jumping out to a fast start and having 2 games out of the gate where you are going to be sizable favorites, and I think that can help them create a spot where they could have that Arkansas, Kansas, and Cincinnati stretch where they could pull some upsets and get out to a really fast start and then try to really grind their way to clinching that bowl eligibility in the last 6 to 7 games.
All right. Well, Mitch, always a pleasure, man. It's good catching up with you. Enjoy your weekend, and let's do this again soon, okay?
Thanks, Mitch.
You bet, guys. Always happy to hop on.
Oh, and by the way, it just gets more and more expensive, but buying a couple of drinks is going to turn into $8,000 dance lessons.
Yeah.
So
enjoy. No, that's true. That's absolutely true.
Thanks, Mitch.
See you, guys.
It doesn't matter. And by the way, Mitch Harper, KSLSports.com. It doesn't matter if your kid plays sports. It doesn't matter if they're in the orchestra. Doesn't matter what they do, dance, cheer, whatever. Somebody out there is going to be taking all your money.
Right.
Just be prepared for it.
And it doesn't matter how you feel about it either.
Yeah, and you have to pay it.
Yep.
Or you're a bad dad.
100%.
Yep. All right, Austin's hanging out with us. We're live here at Fat Cat's brand new location, 13901 Redwood Road in Bluffdale. It is, normally sometimes people have their big grand opening celebration, but they do like that soft open for 3 weeks, get their legs underneath them. You guys are like, we're going to open up today, and we're just going to blow it up, and we're going to go crazy on day one.
Yeah, what a perfect start to Memorial Day weekend is getting this grand opening. Yeah, we started this morning at 11, so, yeah, there's plenty of stuff to do. Come on down.
Well, Austin, you just rolled out a couple of meat lover pizzas for us. These look amazing.
That's what I had for lunch, and I'll probably have it for dinner too.
You know what? This is not – when you think of, go to a movie theater or, a place like this pizza, you're thinking somebody back where threw a Tostino's in a oven for 5 minutes. This is gourmet pizza here, man.
Yeah.
This is no joke.
Yeah, all made to order. Yeah, we have a few different varieties of that. And even the cauliflower crust is pretty good. It's one of my favorite ones.
Okay, so – I know you've got plenty of bowling lanes. You got some lanes open. If people start flooding in, it's first come, first serve on the bowling lanes.
Yeah, first come, first serve. Yeah, it looks like got plenty of them. Just come on down. Yeah, plenty of room to get started.
And we got the amazing arcades over here and $10 gift cards that we're giving to every person that comes in. So if you've got a couple of kids, we've had some fathers and sons and some fathers and daughters. We had a mom come in with her four kids. Everybody's going to get a $10 gift card to go over and enjoy the arcade. And that $10 at the arcade today is worth $20.
Yeah, for our first 2 weeks, our grand opening special, we're going to do half off arcade. That's for 2 weeks.
So whatever you need to do, you've got all the new releases on movies. Mm-hmm. So luxury theater, you've got the mini golf. You've got the arcade where we're giving you $10 gift cards. You've got the bowling alleys. You can just come by, grab a bite to eat, and watch whatever games on ESPN. I mean, there's no reason people shouldn't be coming down here.
Yeah, it's awesome. We have the three big projector screens at the end of the bowling lane. So, yeah, any of the playoff games that's coming up. But, we always show the awesome sports.
Oh, geez, man. Come
that's,
on.
That's fun, huh? These
that's awesome.
Huge projection screens. And I've come in and bowled while they've got NFL games on and fights on and all kinds of great stuff.
This is the place to be. It's now in Bluffdale. It's Fat Cats. We want you to come by. We want you to hang out with us. Let's go. Let's have some fun. All kinds of great stuff. And we're giving away $10 arcade gift cards, which, again, as Hans mentioned, with half-off arcades, we're essentially giving you $20 gift cards for everybody who comes by. Bring down your family of four. We'll hook you all up. It's all right here at Fat Cats in Bluffdale on 97.5 DKSL Sports Zone.
Your home for Real Salt Lake is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
RSL dives back into MLS play with a trip to Minnesota Saturday night. The pregame show starts at 5:30, first kick at 6:30 here on The Zone.
Catch every moment of every RSL match right here on your exclusive home of Real Salt Lake. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas,
in the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. By the way, that pizza is no joke.
That's really good.
Yeah.
Just a good classic.
It's good stuff, man. That does not suck at all. Hey, by the way, let's give away some tickets right now. Caller number 12, 801-575-ZONE. You'll win a pair of tickets to see Nate Bargatze at the Delta Center coming up on September 30th. So, again, caller number 12 right now, 801-575-ZONE. That's 801-575-ZONE right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Well, Scotty, RSL got past Colorado. They were able to beat them in the round of 16. That means that they now advance, and they'll be taking on the LA Galaxy in the quarterfinals. The LA Galaxy, they were able to get past LAFC, outscored them 2-0 in the round of 16. So you're going to see RSL now take on the Galaxy a couple of times in just a matter of a few days. Kind of like what happened with Colorado. The Colorado Rapids. RSL played Colorado in MLS play, and then they played them in cup play, and they got it taken care of. So RSL now advancing to take on the LA Galaxy in the round of 8.
Let's go. Let's go, man.
Yeah, pretty exciting.
Fired up.
They just keep winning. They got off that no-score train, and they
just
started.
Needed to play Colorado.
They just needed to play Colorado. I guess they just hate Colorado. So now Real take on the Galaxy two times in just a week's time.
Yeah.
Just like they did with Colorado, or similar to what they did with Colorado.
So the woes, the scoring woes of RSL is now officially behind them.
Apparently.
Unless they play somebody other than Colorado.
Because they put up three goals against Colorado.
Yeah. No, this is cool. If they make it to the championship, we will be there.
Absolutely. We will be there, and we will be excited.
Yes. I told Trey, I'm like, hey, do we have some kits you could send our way? And he's like, yeah, we don't have really that many X's in our sizes. And I'm like, okay, well, I appreciate that.
How do they ever expect big men to be a fan of soccer?
You know, we know there's a bunch of Tanner and McKays out there that are, you know, mediums that can wear your kits. But, you know, they need to make a kit for a huskier fella.
What's wrong with making a 4X Umbro?
Come on.
What's wrong with it?
I think it would be smart. They're like, you know. We just don't have enough fabric, apparently. No, I'm kidding.
I want one of those. Is it Hostess?
Oh, the word says Bimbo?
Yeah, Bimbo. Yes. The bread company.
We joke about that because that was the game you and I went to. What was it, like 2012, 11? The CONCACAF?
Nine.
Yeah, it may have been before that.
Eight.
All right.
Seven.
Let's,
it was a long time ago.
It was a minute ago. There's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Good, the bad, the ugly. Remember, as always, brought to you by Zero Res right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. And Zero Res from Nephi to Ogden, just $33 per room. Schedule in May and get a fourth room clean for free. Go to it's all available online at ZeroRes.com. Well, Shannon Sharp, home in L.A. was burglarized last week. And the cops say the thieves made off with about $1 million. Between 7 and 9:30, Sharp had left his place for a few hours. And when he returned home after dinner, noticed that the place didn't look right. Expensive watches, jewelry, some designer bags. Oh, Shannon, what are you doing with designer bags? Come on. According to law enforcement, there were no obvious signs of forced entry. Ooh, inside job. No arrests have been made, but make no mistake, he is not happy about it. He has offered up a $50,000 reward for info regarding to an arrest and conviction. Maybe his Louis got taken.
If somebody broke into your house right now, how much could they escape with?
Like $25. I'm telling you, collectively, there might be some stuff, but I don't have any, like, big-ticket items at all. Like, there's nothing of it, like, oh, you want to haul out a couch that I got a great deal from Tom at the warehouse on? Like, you know, like.
Don't hurt my dogs. Leave my dogs alone. You might be able to get out of my house with $200, maybe $300.
I mean, I bought my TV at Costco for like $400.
You steal my computer, you're going to return it within a week. Because you're going to see how slow it runs. You're going to be like,
hey, man.
This is stupid.
This 2012 Dell. Like,
it's what it is. I think it's like a 2011 or 12. And it has a really bad sound it makes. They'd return it because it would keep them up at night.
I mean, probably the most expensive items I own are my smokers in the back. And I don't see those guys wheeling that up the hill in the backyard.
Those are heavy.
Yeah.
They're definitely not going to take those. They would get into my book collection and be like, Guinness Book of World Records. Those aren't worth
who's
anything.
Who's Porter Rockwell? That's the thing. Like, yeah, I mean, I don't have anything. Now, look, you know, outside of maybe a computer or two, that's about it.
There's just nothing. And here they are breaking into Shannon Sharp's house, and apparently he's got $1 million sitting in his front room for people to scoop up in jewelry and other things.
Does a man, like, because Jenny's not even, like,
Oh,
God bless her. She doesn't care about jewelry. I mean, she has jewelry, but it's, I mean, she
I'd laugh
doesn't
all
spend
the, I'd,
hardly any money on it.
I would laugh my butt off thinking those dudes have a bunch of cubics that they think.
CZs are, for days, man.
They're going to take in for some drug money and try to exchange it at some pawn shop. The pawner's going to be like, yeah, man, that's essentially glass. That's not diamonds. But apparently that's not how Shannon Sharp rolls. Okay, but if I had burglars come into my house and take a few things, I am going to say, I think it was $1 million.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Maybe $1 million.
Well,
$1.5 million.
What you're talking about is insurance fraud. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, Shannon, show us the pictures.
Some guy walks into my house. I'm like, yeah, dude, I had like 5 Louis Vuitton bags. And they're like, what does it look like? What do Louis Vuitton bags look like? Will they hold stuff? And they have a handle?
He's going back to watch the movie Legally Blonde. They're pink with a brown strap.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah. We'd be in trouble there. All right, there's your bad. Let's get to the ugly.
And, of course, the ugly.
Well, sad story here. A college baseball player died after he was struck in the face when a makeshift dugout he was helping to disassemble collapsed on him. Angel Mercado was a middle infielder. He just completed his freshman year at Central Penn College. The coach of the team had built a makeshift dugout out of wood on Sunday, but city officials told him it wasn't allowed. So a group of players were dismantling the structure. When it unexpectedly collapsed, he was struck in the face, suffered traumatic head injuries. This is horrible.
Yeah.
Was taken to a hospital where he died. City spokesman said nothing criminal happened here. No charge will be filed against the coach. No charge will be filed against anybody. Simply a tragedy. This is why the city's making you tear the thing down, is because it sounds like you didn't know what you were doing, for crying out loud.
Yeah. What do you think about the no charges?
I think you ought to look into this a little bit more.
I guess if it's just a terrible accident, it's a terrible accident. But you're not supposed to put that thing. You know, it's just tough. You're not there. We don't know what that structure was. We know that it was a makeshift dugout. All I know is if I send my kid off to college and he's this achieving college athlete, and I get a call that he's dead because the coach built any coach built a structure that wasn't stable, and my kid's dead because they were trying to help take it down, I would want answers.
Yes.
And a simple mistake doesn't feel right because somebody put that up.
Yeah.
And somebody was having my kid take it down, and should my kid really have been involved in that?
Yeah. Hey, look, it doesn't matter if you're sending your kid to Alabama or, in this case, Central Penn College. When this is close to home because you have athletes that you're sending to college, and you're sending them to a coach who's come into your home and interacted with you and told you, hey, your kids will be safe with me. I will do my best to take care and protect your children as you send them off to college.
Yeah.
And you've entrusted them to have their best interests in mind, and you would certainly hope that that would be the case. And obviously horrible things happen, but this seemed like it could be unavoided.
It's a heartbreaker, man. Angel Mercado, and 19 years old, and an accomplished athlete, and this is where we're at. It's a terrible story.
All right, a little whole world news coming up next. Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. We are live here at Fat Cats in Bluffdale. Stop by, and let's get you squared away. If you want to hang out with us, all right, well, let's be honest. You don't really want to hang out with us, but if you want to check out Fat Cats, you should. 13901 South Redwood Road in Bluffdale. You come by, we'll give you a $10 gift card to the arcade. They've got the mini golf. They've got the bowling. They've got movies. They've got great food. It's all available for you here at Fat Cats. 13901 South Redwood Road in Bluffdale on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Jake Scott and Ben Anderson.
The one and only Coach Tim Lacombe. Would you actively try and trade up for either Miller or Scoot?
I think the Jazz are in a good place regardless. Those first three picks are pretty set. I mean, there's a lot of really talented dudes. So I would say, hey, if you see somebody that you really can't live without and you've got the means to do it, you know, Ainge has always been really great at identifying that guy. And so if there is that guy and they can move, they've got the power to do so. But I think they're in a great place. I think with the assets, the current players they have under contract, and however it falls out, you know, they're going to get really talented dude in the spot. So the options there to move, and Brandon Miller, Scoot have ability. They have things that could make them franchise type guys, but I don't know if you can like put that label on them right now. So it really just comes down to there's somebody that you covet greatly, man, you go after them.
Hear Jake Scott and Ben Anderson every day from 10 to noon on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. This is Whole World News on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world.
Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. It is another edition of Whole World News, spanning the globe to try to find some random story that hopefully you like. We stay away from sports during this segment. And Hans, I'm going to take you to Kentucky. You ready?
So we take 5 seconds away from sports.
Yes.
Oh, kill us.
And everybody's like, stick to sports, guys. What's wrong with you?
It's 5 seconds.
Come on. We're going to be all right.
Have a little fun.
All right. So look, violence is never the answer, right? But there are certain things that you can think of. Yeah, you better hide those.
No.
There are certain things that you can think of where you might like, okay, what would bring you to violence? Like, I know I'm not saying it's right, but there are certain things that...
Somebody touching my chocolate-covered cinnamon berries.
Yeah. Yeah. Mama came by and tried to snag your cinnamon berries.
That won't
Amanda,
work.
And you... slapped her hand.
To actual violence?
Like?
It would be somebody, yeah.
Coming after your family, yeah. Something like that?
Yeah.
Well, this man is a Kentucky man. Clifton Williams, age 64, was arrested on Sunday and charged with second-degree assault. He shot a man. Man is fine. He's okay. But he shot a man. Why? It's actually his roommate who sustained non-life-threatening injuries and a gunshot wound because this man stole his last Hot Pocket.
Yeah.
The roommate, again, who has not been named, apparently stole the last Hot Pocket from Clifton Williams, again, age 64. According to a police citation, the two roommates got into a physical fight over the frozen sandwich. Mr. Williams got mad. Here's the quote. Mr. Williams got mad because he ate the last Hot Pocket. And he began throwing kitchen utensils at this individual. The victim attempted to fight back and threatened Williams and then left the scene. Well, Williams then got a gun, followed his roommate outside where he shot him in the buttocks. The police document said he got shot in the butt for eating the man's hot pocket. Under Kentucky law, a person convicted of second-degree assault could be sentenced up to 5 to 10 years in prison.
Something bit me. I'd like to see that someday, son. Okay.
All right.
Hold on.
No. Okay. Go ahead.
You had college roommates.
Correct.
And you got your food stolen.
Yes.
Weren't you on the verge?
Yes.
Of going bananas?
Yeah. You know, when you're that guy that you draw the little line on your milk to make sure, like, this is my level where I'm at.
Yes.
If it drops below it, I know it was one of you, Jack Wagons.
Yeah.
Man, there were multiple... that's when you know you got bad roommates.
Yeah.
You have to draw a line.
There were so many times where I went ballistic on people. And I'm not even saying that I wasn't the offender before. I may have eaten a thing or two that wasn't mine.
I think it was open season for you on people's food.
Is there a bit of responsibility on the offender? A bit. He ate the Hot Pocket.
I know. That's why I said that. Is this justifiable?
To a certain degree, but...
Okay, now here's the thing. If it's one of those...
Lethal force.
Okay, if it's one of the pizza Hot Pockets, I'm going to let that slide. I'm going to be mad. If it's the ham and cheese one, we got problems.
Nonsense, because when he goes there to eat it, he wants it to be there to eat it. I don't care if it's not a good one.
So, Lloyd, are you taking a hard line on this, that it was deserved?
It was deserved. Oh, absolutely. No. I mean, shooting him in the buttocks is a little bit... a little much, but...
Buttocks.
But come on.
Something bit me.
But you can't be taking your roommate's food, because when you're hungry, you're hungry. You know what it's like to be hangry.
I had about 12 Dr. Peppers.
Agape.
Agape.
Well, look, in Hot Pockets, I mean, come on. Hot Pockets are awesome. You don't mess around with another man's Hot Pocket.
Do they still have the sheath?
The sleeve?
Yeah.
I believe they do.
Actually, you're wrong.
Sheath.
Wait, what? Not the ones that we get here.
But no, when we were raiding, remember when the fifth floor, when they had all that stuff in that fifth floor, they didn't have the sleeve?
Yeah, the ones that you saw, the ones that I've been getting, they don't have that. You pop them out of that plastic thing and you just microwave them.
Well, how do you cook them now?
Yeah,
you gotta have the little
put them on for
silver.
2 minutes and they work just great.
No, you gotta have the silver sleeve or they don't cook.
I'm telling you, it does cook, and it's fine.
Was that just the thing we were all led to believe, that they had to be in the sleeve in the microwave, and it wasn't true all along?
I hope
not.
Yeah,
and they're just cutting costs now.
That seems so deceiving.
Wow.
I used to get so mad when people would eat my food. I would never shoot somebody with a gun.
In the buttocks?
But you could ask Scotty Brown next time he's on.
Okay, all right. But how much of Scotty Brown's food did you eat?
I would imagine. A lot.
Yeah.
A lot, but what mine was, you weren't supposed to eat mine.
So now when he gets a fight, you just tell him, well, you owe me.
I would imagine, okay, let's say you come back from Weezer, you spend the weekend at home, Clark and Fawn, you have a good time, and she sends you back with a box of turtles, and you open those things up, and half of them are gone, and you see Scotty with a little chocolate on the corners of his mouth.
Something would have bit him.
Well, we know this would never happen because those wouldn't even make it home. So
they would have made it in the car.
They wouldn't make it home. No. So that's a made-up story. There's no way that could ever happen.
I'd have torched those turtles before Declo.
I do think it's funny how, like, didn't your wife try to get in your chocolate? Or you got it? No, you got into her supply.
Yeah, I found a one-pound box of chocolates. I took the whole thing. it was a bad...
And she had hit it from you, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not good.
It was bad. Hard thing to get through.
All right, Austin's with us. All right, so Austin was kind enough to bring by a couple of the pizzas.
These are good.
These meat lover pizzas. I don't know if it's worth shooting somebody if somebody steals one of your pizzas here from Fat Cats, but it's getting close because these things are great.
It's on the line for it. I don't know about shooting someone in the butt for it. and never steal your wife's chocolate. I've had that backfire on me many times.
Yeah, it's not smart. It's not smart. Hey, I saw the burgers come out. I saw the chicken fingers come out. You guys have great chicken fingers.
Yeah, those are the fries. Have you had the fries? Those are my favorite thing. They have this fry sampler. Comes with four different kinds of fries.
Whoa.
And all these sauces.
Like, no, what kind of fries? Like, how do you...
Oh, they got
different cuts or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, different cuts of fries. They got sweet potato fries. They have these waffle ones. My favorite, they have these Asian Thai dipping sauce. It's the best with the fries.
Wow.
I love it. So here's the deal. If you've never been to a Fat Cats, we're giving you a great opportunity to come down. We're going to give you a $10 gift card. That $10 is actually worth $20 in the arcade. And you're going to get that for free just for coming down. We want people to experience Fat Cats. Because when it showed up in Saratoga Springs in my community, it took me probably two or three weeks to get down there. When I got down there, I'm like, what took me so long? The theaters have all luxury seating. Food is delivered to your seating. You've got bowling and mini golf and so many great arcade games. It's just the perfect place to come for a family, Austin.
Yeah, and they have the best popcorn here. We do the loyalty buckets, you know, $25 gets you $3 refills for the whole year. And that's, I mean, best pairings, movies and popcorn.
Mm. Well, and that's the thing. You got popcorn, but you got the pizzas, and it's delivered right to your seat. You don't have to worry about trying to juggle it all in your hands while you're getting to your seat. It's all brought to you. You've got the bowling alleys. You got the arcade. I mean, Memorial Day weekend, this is the best way to spend it.
Yeah, we have all the first-round movies. Little Mermaid comes out. We still have Fast 10. We got Mario. We still got the new Guardians. So plenty of good movies to choose from, too.
And that's the thing. I mean, these are new releases, too. Yeah. It's not like your movie's been out for 6 months and then it kicks over to you guys. I mean, you've got the latest releases ready to go.
It's top-end stuff, man.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
And Scotty, it is my theater. It's where I go. I love it.
Yeah.
Because of the luxury seating and because of the food delivery. And, as you mentioned, everything brand new.
Well, and honestly, too, there's some theaters out there that will have, like, limited luxury seating. And I'm to the point now where I've been spoiled with it. So I won't go unless I can get a luxury seat.
Yeah.
And so for you to be able to say, like, no, that's standard. That's every seat is luxury. You don't have to fight for those eight in one big theater that have eight luxury seats. No, you've got all of them ready to go.
Yeah, they're all luxury seats. The cool thing with these privacy walls between each row, so you're not seeing the head in front of you.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, so it's a good way to corral the kids if you're in a kid's movie where it's running a little bit long. But,
yeah,
the luxury seats, good way to take a nap if you are in a kid's movie. That's what I usually do.
I love it. Fat Cats right here in Bluffdale. Brand new location. It is the first day. Come celebrate with us. We've got the gift cards ready to go. 13901 Redwood Road. It's Fat Cats from Bluffdale right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.